Hello and welcome to episode 38 of 2P Starts Live. He's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We hope you enjoy the show.
So, what's going on?
Do it.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Trivia for two, please.
It does go well with
Isn't
the
that
chicken.
What I was supposed to say?
Each week, Tim and I try to stump each other on ridiculous video game trivia and determine who is currently the biggest nerd. Oh, actually, before I start, I would like to apologize.
I accept your
last
apology.
Last week, I had a question about how many Mega Man games there were, and my total was incorrect. In a rush to try to get the question done right before the podcast, I miscounted how many there were, and DJ helped point out I was incorrect. You were within 10. We counted around 50, like 60 games or so.
It's hard because, you know, with remakes and stuff, you have to exclude
there's so many. So in my defense, there are actually over 100 Mega Man titles in existence. So I don't feel quite so bad about being off, but because I tried to simplify it, I actually made it more complicated. So sorry about that, but this time I definitely have a correct answer that I know is right. No one can dispute it.
Are you ready? Action!
Here's your question. What was the last game Rare released on the Nintendo 64?
Rare. Golly, I know they made that jet. What was that jet type game?
Jet Force Gemini?
Jet Force Gemini.
I hated
that
game.
One, I think.
That was just me, though.
They did Banjo-Kazooie, too, as well. I don't know. I'm going to have to guess. Banjo-Kazooie 2. What was that one called?
Banjo-Tooie?
Banjo-Tooie. Was that on the N64?
Yes.
I mean, that's my guess.
I'm sorry, you are incorrect. The correct answer was Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Oh, that's right. They did that
released
one.
In 2001.
That was one of the last N64 games released, I think.
Banjo-Tooie was released in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just a year off. It's a good guess.
Close, but no cigar. All right, well, I had a really hard time coming up with the question for you.
Delicious again, Peter.
All right, my question has to do with the game series Civilization.
Oh, gosh.
Which, each civilization has a ruler, some famous ruler from history, that represents each civilization, right?
Yes.
So, for instance, the British have Queen Elizabeth, okay? What ruler is used to represent the American civilization?
Oh. George Washington.
That is incorrect.
Ah.
Your second guess would have been...
Abraham Lincoln.
Yep, that's who they chose.
Ah, dang it.
It's like, it has to be one of those, right?
It wasn't Bush.
I think in Civ 5, they're going to update it to Barack Obama, so...
Well, we need change, right?
Yes, hope and change. I hope they change. Anyway.
All right, well, we're both incorrect this week.
Oh, no!
Which is a good thing. We're not incredible nerds. We're just partially nerds.
Yep.
Well, with that, it'll take us to a new segment that I like to call, not us, but just me, Ricket Ricket Remix. Each week, I dish out a video game remix favorite of mine, who it's by, and where you can grab it. This week's song was recommended by 2P Start reader Luelic. From the Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney song Victory comes the remix This Feeling by OA. Alright, can't say I'm real crazy over this one, but if you'd like to add it to your music collection, I've got a link up right now for those of you listening to the M4A version of the podcast. Otherwise, you can just head over to ocremix.org and track it down yourself. So Tim, was last week's song any good?
Oh, it's awesome. I really liked
did
it.
Did you listen? Did you act?
Why are you asking these hard questions?
See, every week, I'm going to ask it. So you need to think ahead of time. Like, you know, I should probably at least just listen to that song.
I usually listen to the first 30 seconds of the podcast where we just say hi. And because I need to make sure that it actually works when it goes up on the site. And that's about it.
Oh, boy.
But I'll try to remember this week.
Well, that'll take us to our topic of the week. And this week, is this an 8-bit comeback?
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't know, Mega Man 9 was recently announced for multiple platforms, including WiiWare, PlayStation 2, correct?
No. PlayStation Network, the...
Okay.
The arcade-y type of download service.
And also Xbox Live.
Correct, yep.
And Mega Man 9 is brand new Mega Man game in the same style as the originals were. And it's quite an exciting change, I have to say. It's like, you know, we've had some of this with the Wii a little bit, where it's like, okay, it's more about gameplay than graphics.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Game development should all be about making it fun and enjoyable. And if a Mega Man game can be more fun in an 8-bit form than it can as a Star Force, you know, DS game, then by all means, make a new 8-bit Mega Man game. And that's exactly what they've done. So it's like, it's really like the first big game to come out for only $10, I believe, to really go back to the game that everybody, the game series everyone really enjoyed, kind of their childhood and that sort of thing. And it's very exciting to me. I'm just excited to see where this all starts, or where this all goes from here, essentially.
Yeah, I think it's exciting because I think from the beginning of the video game industry, we've headed in a direction of better graphics. And that was a necessary evolution because as graphics improved, you know, you'd be able to do different things with games. Like, with the Atari, you couldn't do things that you could do on the NES, and as generations evolved, you know, you could do a whole lot more in storytelling and gameplay elements and that sort of thing. But it's like in movies, now we've gotten to a point where CG can make almost anything possible, but I'm starting to hate when you see this, you know, CG fest of, you know, movies where there's so much computer graphics in there, it looks kind of ridiculous, and it wasn't necessary in the first place. And you kind of wish they had just filmed this a certain way, you know, gone back to the basics of actually filming. It's the same type of thing where, you know, we've gotten so far with 3D, HD, you know, sharp graphic games, you're wondering where, you know, NES games are no less fun than they were in, you know, the 80s. It's still challenging.
Some don't age well. But certainly, the ones that we all loved are still just as wonderful, basically.
And they're wonderful because of the gameplay. Now, maybe some RPGs would be totally boring today because RPGs are about story, right? Not necessarily, you know, some gameplay elements, but it's a lot about story. And stories can be told better today through, you know, the more emotion that you see in the face, more, you know, even some speaking and whatever else. But when you're talking about a game like Mega Man that's all about gameplay, there's no reason why you can't have great gameplay with an 8-bit game. So that is kind of exciting to see them take that step. And it's not a step backwards. I don't want to say that. But
right. Take a step back to our roots, basically.
Yeah.
And what's very comical about this is, like, Mega Man 9 is so much more interesting to me than any recent Mega Man game, you know? And it's really funny to think, like, soon, like, the next big E3 announcements will be, like, 8-bit graphics, 16-bit graphics, you know? I'm feeling like, oh my god, it looks amazing, you know? Like, we're all gonna have that feeling in us, even though it's just so, like, old-looking, too. It's become retro. It's been retro for a long time, but to actually do the games again is it's very quite comical to me. It's very interesting to see how this plays.
Why not
out.
An original game based on an existing beloved franchise? It's going to cost a fraction of what you know, a new 3D game would cost, the staff that you'd need, all that stuff is just so much less. And, you know, I think especially because they're kind of the first to do this, Capcom, the hype over it is pretty interesting. Like, how are we getting so excited over something so retro? But
yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I expect it to be an amazing game. You know, I mean, it's just going to be another Mega Man game. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah, we can't have too high of expectations.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's $10. It's got 8 Master Robots.
And some people were like, well, that's twice what an NES game costs. It should be 5, you know? And it's like, well, this isn't an NES game. It's a new game that they just developed, and you cannot play it anywhere else, so it's not an NES game. And then other people were like, well, that's pretty cool. I guess it's cool that it's retro, but I really hope Mega Man 10 has 16-bit graphics. And it's like,
already
it's like we we have to go through the cycle like a second time, right? I mean, I just found that so unbelievable. But it's, I mean, if it had been 16-bit, it would have been like, well, this is a DS game. Like, that's kind of almost,
yeah, yeah.
You're almost pushing it to the point where it's not really as retro. And at the same time, I think they'll be able to do things that don't break any laws of 8-bit graphics, but they can do it so much better and make it look pretty cool as an 8-bit game. Like, whereas they would have had a lot of difficulty doing those things on an actual NES at the time, with memory constraints and whatever else. And just programming was, you know, I'm sure much more difficult back then with what they had.
I'm wondering how many bugs they can iron out, because even the old Mega Man games, if there was too much going on the screen at the time, like, characters would start flashing.
Yeah.
You know, they'd kind of disappear and reappear, and things would kind of slow down. It's like, you know, maybe they've ironed out those problems that we don't have to deal with that anymore.
I would imagine that all that's gone, because, you know, you're not programming it for the NES hardware, you know?
But do we know that?
No, in fact, I was going to say it would be really cool if they would release a limited edition one on an actual NES cartridge.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
I think that would be awesome. But
with, like, really bad box art, too.
Yeah, something, like, hand-drawn. But I don't see that happening, because I don't think that the game would run on an NES.
We've been asking for this for quite a while. I mean, the two of us, with, like, make more 2D games, you know? 2D gaming is still fun. Bring it back, you know? Make it 3D, but make it 2D at the same time. And you know, Sonic seems to be doing that with the new Sonic Unleashed game. That's a whole other topic.
I'm not going to agree with you there yet, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, they're doing more traditional Sonic things than they have recently, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, they're at least trying to go
they're
back.
They're starting
a little bit
to get it, I think.
But they're not where we want them to be, not obviously.
All.
And that'll be more clear when the game comes out. But so it's really nice to see them doing what we've wanted. My question to you is, what other games would you like to see with a sequel in the same game's old style?
Golly, that's a tough question. What, just the idea. I mean, for me, it doesn't even have to be a revival of an old franchise. You look at a game like N+ on Xbox Live, it's very simple graphics, and that's totally acceptable when gameplay is the focus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be cool to see an 8 or 16-bit game, that
from scratch, basically.
From scratch, that you could imagine on a Super Nintendo, but made from scratch today. So the constraints of the graphics drive the gameplay, but you're not constrained with, like, memory, like I said, or even maybe sound to some extent, or storytelling. Like, a lot of times, the memory limited an RPG's ability to even communicate. So you talk to a little town person, they say hello, and that's it. You know what I mean? Like,
right. They can do those things better now.
I can imagine how much more they could do with that same style of graphics, but with today's kind of technology, you know?
Well, Tim and I are in total agreement then that this is the beginning of something that could be very good, and hopefully not something really horrible. All right, well, moving on to comic talk. This week we had a different directive comic. And this was a lot of fun for me to do. You know, Tim and I were thinking of some WALL-E jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just hilarious because Tim had not seen WALL-E yet, and I had seen it twice. So I knew the movie from back to front, and Tim really only knew what he had seen in the trailer.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, so you're kind of like, oh, so there's like one. There's like a fat pilot, right? There's like one human on Earth now. I'm like, just go see the movie, Tim.
Well, I didn't even know about the fat pilot. I don't even think I remember that from the trailer. I knew almost nothing about it.
Yeah, they show him for like a split second in the trailer. Because
it's so insulting. You know,
we were thinking about ideas, and I was like, well, I have a great idea, but I don't want to say it because I don't want to ruin the movie for you. You know? But it was also kind of nice because it helped me filter the ideas down for people who also haven't seen the movie. You know, if Tim and I had both seen the movie, we would just do whatever crazy Wally comic we wanted without really considering what people have and haven't seen in the movie. So I think that helped us strike the right balance because eventually you did see it, and then, you know, we kind of leveled out on what exactly it should be that Wally and Eve should be doing.
Right. Yeah, it worked out really well. I think the artwork is really top-notch, some of your best.
Thanks.
Ever. It was funny though, I think I mentioned briefly in the post that it seemed like we had so many ideas that every time we were like, so what should the comic be? We'd, instead of solidifying the idea and just say, okay, this is what it is, we'd kind of talk about it, and then the conversation would probably end up, you know, with Brawl or something, like it always does. Segue into something else, right? And then the next day...
Did you watch those replays yet?
No, I haven't. Sorry.
All right, we'll get to that tonight.
Yeah. But, you know, then next day Ray says, so, what's the comic about? I'm like, what do you mean? We just talked about that last night. Why aren't you...
And I was like, no, we really didn't.
Man. You're like, no, remember?
I'm
like,
so whenever Tim wasn't like, come on, we figured it out. I was like, okay, well, let's go to this panel by panel. You know, and we'd get towards the end. I was like, wait, so should it be this or this? It's like, okay, see, we do not know what we're doing here. it was nice because I could do those panels up front. Like I knew what the first two should be, and then the next two, and so, you know, I was able to do it from the start. Whereas some other times we don't even have a good start for a comic, so I have nowhere to even start drawing.
Right.
One of the jokes that we considered that you did not mention was something, or maybe you did mention it, was something to do with Rob, like somehow Wally meets Rob.
Yeah, I mentioned it briefly. I thought maybe kind of love triangle type of story, so they're each trying to show off to Eve. But I really didn't know where that would go, you know. I mean, them meeting is almost half the joke because, you know, they have some similarities there, but it seemed a little bit obvious, I guess.
Kevin Briga gave me an idea of putting, like, he's like, hey, you know how there's, like, well, I don't want to ruin the movie for anyone, but there's stuff, you know, it's you know, Earth is trash, so there's trash everywhere. And he's like, why don't you have, like, Rob and like, E-102R, like, in the background, like, buried in the dirt sort of thing, and I was like, I really like that idea. So I was able to sneak Rob into the comic, which no one has noticed yet.
No, and that's why I didn't want to mention in the post.
Yeah, and I was glad you didn't mention anything, because I wanted to see if anyone could pick it out without us cluing anyone. But now that no one has, it's like, okay, go back to the comic, more page views, and take a look and see if you can find Rob hidden there somewhere.
Yeah, I had thought of a number of things we could throw in the trash pile, but they'd all be too obvious, like a Virtua Boy or something like that.
Right.
Some of the worst of the worst, but
so I'm glad we went with the joke that we did because it was a little more unique than, you know, Rob. Because people were saying that every time I see Wally, I think of Rob. You know, that connection is already being made by lots of people. So we tried to do something very different that no one else would make a comic about.
Yeah, my biggest concern was that maybe not that many people knew of the whole E.T. myth where they dumped all the cartridges in the landfill or whatever, but I think enough are probably aware of it that they got the joke.
And I don't think you need to know either. I think you know, the joke lays heavily enough on the fact that E.T. is a horrible game and Eve is there to destroy it, basically.
Right.
You know, that you don't need to know that up front, but it's a little funnier knowing that, you know, there might be somewhere a landfill filled with E.T. cartridges.
Yeah.
Well, for every great comic comes great comments. And my comment of the week goes to Tustin, who said, brilliant! I haven't seen the movie, but it sounds fun. Great comic, guys. What's a directive? To which I say, go see the movie.
Yeah.
Go see it, people.
Yeah, well, on that note, my comment of the week goes to Swimming Bird, who said, "The comic pushed me over the edge of wanting to see the film, and I'm glad I finally did. Awesome." That was pretty cool that, you know...
Yeah, I hope people are watching. It's a great movie.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we shouldn't get into this, but my biggest criticism is I don't like...
Oh, okay, well, edit.
Edit.
We just don't want to spoil the movie for anyone.
No,
go see it, people.
Go
You'll like it.
All right, moving along. The happiest part of TV Start Live.
What was it called again? The Happy Time Award or whatever?
We never had a good name for it. Happy.
Well,
Time
the dark
Award.
Clouds are rolling in, and that can only mean one thing. Darkness has taken over the land, and the dreaded Black Doom Award makes its entrance. Each week, Tim and I both mention a terrible choice made related to video games in honor of the worst character Sonic Team has ever created. Bark the Polar Bear. I mean, Black Doom.
Ugh, Bark the Polar Bear. My goodness.
And he was in a fighting game.
Oh no. A fighting Sonic game?
Well, what's your Black Doom Award, Tim?
Well, on the topic of Mega Man 9, it's hard to call this a Black Doom Award because it's only a rumor at this stage, but...
So it's kind of like a gray Doom Award?
It's a gray... It's a future Black Doom Award because it's probably going to happen. There's a couple different... I think Nintendo Power and Famitsu have both alluded to the fact that Mega Man 9 will have downloadable content. And I hate downloadable content, mainly because a lot of times you feel like that stuff should have been included in the game anyways, or free. I mean, there's some instances it's okay.
Yeah, we've talked about this before.
So, you know, we'll see what it is. I don't want to call it the worst thing in the world yet, but I don't know. It seems the wrong thing to do when you're going back to the 8-bit era, and then you have downloadable content on that game. It's like, no, that didn't exist back then, and it shouldn't exist in this game. If it has anything to do with gameplay, I'll be pretty disappointed. If it's like an Xbox theme or picture pack, then I don't really care.
Yeah, maybe it's like you can change Mega Man into Proto Man or something, and like maybe it's like you download new cheats to.
But see, even that, if you had to pay for that, would you really want to?
I hope you don't have to pay for it. But yeah, I see what you're saying. If you did have to pay for it, that would be ridiculous.
But I guess the most important thing is it doesn't affect. If it doesn't affect gameplay, I'd be somewhat okay with it. Like, you know, you get a bonus stage if you pay for it. That would be dumb. So, let's hope that's not true, or if it is true, it's something stupid like a wallpaper or a picture pack or something.
You can pay to download the virtual PDF game manual. That's what I want to see.
Now that would be stupid. But,
and it's for Mega Man 9. Press A to jump. Alright, my Black Doom Award goes to the Ion Drum Rocker.
Is this
Which is Rock Band's officially licensed deluxe drum set.
Yep.
That is compatible with Rock Band and Rock Band 2. Here's the thing, people. Rock Band comes with a drum set, okay? And it's kind of it's kind of limited. There's only a few pads, and you play with the beat, you know, to simulate a real drum set. Well, the officially licensed deluxe drum set, as Joystick said, the four high durability, quiet, velocity sensitive pads can be mounted and rearranged in any position and even outfitted with professional drum brains from Alesis. Add in a metal reinforced kick pedal with Velcro and spikes to prevent slippage and two packaged mounted cymbals with the option to add a third, and you've got what's unquestionably the Rolls-Royce of drum controllers. Okay, and if you want to buy this, it's going to cost you $300 for this drum set itself.
I thought it was $250.
I read it was $300.
Oh my gosh, either way.
Either way, it's a lot of money. And
that's
I guess,
a lot of money.
Like, it's great, you know, it's cool if you want to come out with, like, really awesome peripherals, but we're talking about musical instruments here, okay? And like, if you're going to buy a really expensive drum set, why don't you just make it real? Okay, why don't you just make it a real drum set that you can actually make normal music with? It's like the whole idea of of like Rock Band is that it's simple and it's fun. Anyone can pick it up and they can press the five buttons or three, you know, and you know, do their best with it and have fun rocking out. You know, the more realistic you make these things, the more ridiculous it's going to become. And so I guess just the idea for me of like, oh, look at our super tricked out electronic video game drum set. It's like, why don't you just buy a normal, like, just a real electronic drum set, you know? Like, this is for a video game. Let us have our video game fun. Don't make it ridiculous. Like, that's all I ask.
Yeah, it's kind of silly. I mean, it'd be like for Wii Sports, like, buying a tennis racket attachment that's like an actual, like, Wilson graphite tennis racket. Like,
yeah, it has like it's made of great material and fits well in your hand, and
it's got like high velocity strings on it so that when you swing it, it'll the wind resistance will be, you know, blah blah blah, whatever, you know.
Yes,
it's a little overkill. I mean,
it's like it's basically like you guys are missing the point, is how I think of it.
Well, it makes me wonder how. I know there's a new drum set for Rock Band 2 anyway.
Right.
But how tough would it be to use the same materials as on the low end one and make them adjustable? You know, are they really chintzing out on the regular drum set and only making some of these useful features on the tricked out one? Probably.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I mean, I like the idea of being able to adjust the drums. I know you can't do that in Rock Band, the first one.
Right.
So, are you going to be able to do that on Rock Band 2? And the reality is, the drum set is not going to work for Guitar Hero because that's how they are.
Right.
So, you're really limited in what you can do with this thing. So,
right.
I don't know.
All right, well, that'll do it for this edition of 2-Piece Start Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic, and every Monday for a brand new podcast. Just like the one you heard here, except better. With that, he's Tim. And we will see you next week.